How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us. And he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us because we belong to his dearly beloved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. And this is his plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us from the beginning, and all things happen just as he decided long ago. God's purpose was that we who were the first to trust in Christ should praise our glorious God. And now you also have heard the truth, the good news, that God saved you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us everything he promised, that he has purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. We have a song that we think is very fitting with Jim's message, and after he makes a few comments, we're going to sing that song.
I'd like to first make just a few comments about the service tonight. It is to discuss our worship service here, the content of it and everything. And I would ask all of you that plan to be here, if you have resources or things you would like to talk about, please think that over so we can include that in our discussion tonight. I have no big presentation on the subject, but I feel that there are many things that we can think about, talk about, and together find God's will for the best worship service in the city of Virginia, city of Stanton, on Sunday morning. You know, I wasn't supposed to say that. It would have come out right. Now, leaving that aside and coming to Ephesians chapter 1, we have been sharing with you on the subject of the Godhead in the recent weeks, beginning with Pentecost Sunday, where we shared with you the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and then bringing the reality that when the Holy Spirit came, he didn't come individually apart from Father or Son. Each has their specific personal function, and they are unified, as we depicted in the illustration of the three gentlemen who represented them coming up here, holding hands together. When one raised their hands, the others were activated too. Just as when the Holy Spirit does his work, Father and Son are involved, vice versa, Father and Son likewise. And I just would like to mention that the three individuals who the other Sunday, Lowell, Danny, and Roger, I'm going to ask you to do that again since you're so good at it at the end of the service today. So be prepared to do a good job. And thank you for taking Lowell's place last Sunday. So we were not without. Who were you? The Holy Spirit or the Father or the Son? The Father. We were not without the Father last Sunday just because you didn't come. Now, in the portion that Kathy just read to us, Paul highlights the First of all, the purpose of the Father. What is His purpose? And it shares very briefly what He has done for us. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He predestined us to the adoption as sons. And all of this to the praise of His glory, a reason for it. Then, He highlights the work of Jesus the Son, the redemptive work of Jesus, that through His blood we have forgiveness of sins. He is made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And He makes known the mystery of His will, that in the dispensations to come. Now notice, He starts with the Father talking about the before the foundation of the world, and then He talks about the end of all things, that in the fullness of time He might gather together all that love Him in one, out there in the future from us, from before the foundation of the world to beyond us, the work of Jesus, and in Him we've obtained an inheritance. Then He refers to the Holy Spirit and His work. That how do we know this is true? Because the Spirit has done a work in us. And if He has, you know it. And if He hasn't, you know it too. He sealed it. And we can all look at this great. I like to see it as an explosion. It looks to me like a fireworks going off of all the glory and beauty that is ours in Christ Jesus, given to us. And that's why this morning, to capture this, we want to experience the Holy Spirit among us, and experience the reality of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, Glenn, would you lead us in this course? Perhaps we should stand as we sing it.
I was also thinking about something else. I know you mentioned our worship tonight, discussion of how input we have, and Vince and I sometimes get to stand up here and we watch you, and everybody's sitting there kind of staid and afraid to move, and not singing fully. Some of these songs that have great opportunity for expression of you doing something. You know, each of these verses, think about the first time you sing it. Then the second time through it, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to do some motions to express how you feel on that Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I mean, do you have can you stand there and say, do something? How do you magnify Son of God? Let's sing it through. First line, do it twice. He's ahead of me.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I adore you, I adore you, I adore you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Son of God.
invited by God to come into a spiritual environment, an atmosphere, to live and to dwell in that. And that's the picture Paul is trying to present to the church in Ephesus. Look, look at this. Here is where you can literally live, although what is visible is this sin-cursed world and the realities all around you. But this is what you have, this atmosphere. If you want to live, it's your choice. And he is attempting to show us that by choosing Jesus Christ as Savior, Father has all these blessings there to give to us through the Son by the Holy Spirit. And truly, Holy Spirit, I'm depending on you. I would like to look at the entire first chapter of Ephesians this morning. It is so full of biblical truths and practical truths. And yet there's so much there that's beyond our comprehension. But to capture what I believe God wants us to receive, there are three aspects I want to touch on. First is the inheritance. Verse 18, he talks about the hope of his calling. Excuse me, let me turn to it. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? It's talking about Jesus' inheritance. For Jesus going to the cross, giving his life for humanity, inherited something. Guess what he inherited? He inherited us. Went through all that suffering. What a raw deal to get us messed up people. Now, go back to verse 11. It talks about our inheritance. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. How did this happen? Well, go back to verse 5. We've been adopted. Oh, there's a reality about this adoption. There's blessings in it. There's an inheritance. And it works like this. Jesus many times in the Bible refers to the marriage covenant as symbolic of the relationship between Christ and the church. So as an illustration this morning, I'll share something with you that's personal with Janie and I. When I vowed to be faithful to Janie the rest of my life, I became her husband, but I became, in a sense, one of the Warfel family. They call me son-in-law or brother-in-law. I'm an in-law, but I'm a part of the Warfel family. Fortunately, it's a very good family, a very large family. Betty and Clarence Warfel were wonderful Christian people. They did not live for themselves. They lived rather frugally. But with 9 children, seemed to be able to provide for them well. And when their estate was settled after they passed on, there was some money to be shared among these 9 siblings. And it wouldn't have been there if they had lived selfishly. They could have lived very much higher than they lived and exorbitant. But they didn't. They chose that. And so Janie, being an heir, because she was a part of the Warfel family, had some money to spend, which she could have spent very selfishly, but she said to her husband, which since I am a part of the union and now a part of the family, I would like to use this money for us. I would like to pave our driveway because I don't like to see you out there raking stones out of the grass and leveling off the driveway and making so much dust and dirt when you drive in and out. So she used her inheritance and shared it with me. I was blessed because I had been taken in by the Warfel family and was subject to a possibility, which was Janie's decision of that inheritance. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, Paul is telling us, he inherited us. And as
a recipient of that inheritance, he was also given a position. You'll see that position at the end of the chapter. Where is it? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet. And I stop right there. Because he could have, and there is a possibility when one reaches that status of power and authority and dominion to be selfish and say, look at me up here. All I've got. I went through that mess down in there. All of that, but look what Father did for me. But no, he did that what? For us. He chose to share his inheritance with us. And that inheritance, what is it? We go back and I enter another part that I shared this morning, beginning with inheritance, because it is our inheritance. Paul, in the center of this chapter, verse 15, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. All of this sounds great and wonderful, and Paul realized that all of this could go right by the Ephesians. This doesn't connect with the logic, so what? I have inheritance. I'm still struggling. Life is rough. Life is difficult. But I want to tell you, if you want to make a difference in your own life and somebody else's life, here is your first avenue of connection with the Godhead. Prayer. Two prayers are important. The prayer to keep your own life pure before God so that He hears your prayers for other people. Second, you want to make a difference in somebody else's life? It doesn't happen by fussing at them. How many learned that? It doesn't happen then even by being nice to them. That doesn't help either. He says, I make mention in your prayers. Listen to this. Look at the power of this. I do not cease to give thanks for you, but I make mention of your prayers that the God the Father, who is referred to, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, Jesus. That's something you don't get by logic. That's something you don't get by figuring it out. That's something the Holy Spirit gives you to help you comprehend the greatness of God, His love for you, the grace that you need when you fail, the strength that you need when you're under the weather, the power that you need as you minister and stand against the devil. You don't get it by figuring it out. That's when you listen. You get it by connecting with it, and you help each other out by praying for them that God may give it to them. What will change a person's life more than anything else? That person that's getting under your skin, that person that irritates you, is a revelation from Jesus Christ. What has changed me? Why am I a minister of the gospel? Because of those revelations and understandings God gave me from time to time, which I believe were a direct result of my parents' prayers and others as well. What will change people around you, people you love? I repeat again. First of all, you need to pray for your attitude about them. You need to forgive. You need to release, put them in God's hand. And once you've done that, then pray them down. And Lord, help them to receive an understanding of you like they've never had before. Lord Jesus, break through all their hardness of heart, their rebellion, their stubbornness, their wanting to go their own way. Do something, God, that they may honor you as God and show them their helplessness without you. That they must depend on the Holy Spirit. That they have to see Jesus in all His grace and love and mercy. How many of you know that will change a person when that happens?
Amen.
And the future of State Church depends on our humility in loving others and praying for them and that others receive that revelation. Now, remember, I said first, pray for yourself that you get it. Paul understands this great dynamic. It's more important than anything else I'm saying this morning. This ability we have through prayer to connect with the Father in Jesus' name. Think about that. Who are we connecting with? Look at this. Eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. You may know what is the hope of, not your calling, His calling. I like the way it puts that. That has to do with your calling. What is He saying to you? Well, I hope He's saying something. That's not the hope He's talking about. It's talking about a sure hope. See, as I look at my future, I'm not frustrated because I've lived too long to be frustrated. I know that whenever you enter into an uncertain time, God closes doors, opens doors. All you need to do is work hard at touching base with Him. And keep your attitude right about other people. Amen. And pray for them.
Amen.
And He'll do wonders. He'll do wonders. He will find that which is compatible for you at your age and your speed and your mental ability and compatible with your weaknesses. And another thing He'll always do is stretch you beyond your ability, because if He wouldn't, you wouldn't need the Holy Spirit's help. That's why when He called me to preach, I knew I couldn't do it. I was so frustrated. He called me to do something I couldn't do. But what I learned shortly, praise His name, was that whatever He called you to do, He would give you the ability to do. And if He didn't give you the ability, you weren't supposed to do it. Isn't that wonderful? It's that simple. Now, again, that's the hope of your calling. And that, of course, includes your call to be a saint. Your call to be a child of God and all of those other general things. It goes into the specific. Now, again, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And I go back into this subject of inheritance. The riches. What are Christ's riches and glory? Go to the end of the chapter. It's the church. He's rich because of all those people around you. He's rich because of you. Human beings are His highest prized possession. He said, I want you to understand that. I'm praying that your eyes would be open and you understand and enjoy the greatness of God working in all those Christians around you. And the fact, and again, I brought this out in Sunday school class, that Paul understood the grace of God. Even all the messed up Christians and baby ones, the ones that weren't living right yet, but still had a connection with God. They're rich. Makes heaven richer. The devil has lost them. Hallelujah. They are part of the riches. And we could go on. There's more riches we could talk about. But that's not the point that I feel the Lord wanting to make this morning. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward you, as well as available to you? He's saying, I pray that you would understand that. And then he does His best to illustrate that power. And here it is. This mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Alright, the devil did not want that to happen. All the existing powers in the universe did not want Jesus Christ rising from the dead and becoming a person in the highest authority in the universe. But it happened, folks. Can you grasp that today? Your personal Jesus that is brought to you by the Holy Spirit, as we illustrated, brings to us, the Holy Spirit brings to us the same ability, same Holy Spirit is in you, and you in you, that went to work and defied all the powers that would keep a dead person dead, keep them from getting out of that situation, define all of that, and He placed Christ in the highest authority in the universe
And then Christ is living in us in that position, highest authority in the universe, with what? All things under his feet. I love that. And this position is fighting daily to stay above all principalities. Is that what it says? It's a struggle for him to stay in that position. Come on, look at your Bible. What does it say? Where is that position in comparison to every other power on earth, in the heavens, anywhere else? Where is that position? Tell me. Come on. How far above?
Far above.
Far above. You need to understand that, that the Jesus within you has conquered every negative thing you are ever going to have to deal with, that anybody's ever going to have to deal with. It is already conquered and under his feet. Would you say, wow, if you believe that? Yeah. That Christ that's not up there somewhere, yes, he's up there, but he's also here, lives within me, dwells within me, is daily yearning to be more Lord of my life. We shared that last Sunday, that they yearn, they earnestly desire that you grasp this, and that you lay hold of it, and that you let it work within you, so that you don't go around under the weather, under all this. Now, here's the reality. We are in a cursed earth. The intention and work of the curse with their master Satan is always to put us under their authority, power, and keep us down. That's what Satan is out to do. He is our enemy. And he's Christ's enemy, but he has been conquered on the cross of Calvary and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now he is a victim of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, we go into the second chapter just briefly, and he says we are called now to sit in heavenly places with him. We're talking about a spiritual atmosphere that is ours to lay hold of regardless of the atmosphere on earth that we have to deal with. Are you getting this morning? And you and I have the privilege of connecting with that atmosphere, that environment, working and living in that environment, are choosing to live only in the environment that is visible and be down like everybody else would like us to be down, to look to other sources other than Jesus Christ. It works like this. This past week, Janie and I had the privilege of experiencing a very interesting experience. Last Saturday it began, this little fawn started to show up around our house. He was very wobbly legged and weak, and I came to the conclusion after searching around that his mother must have rejected him. And so this poor little fawn tried to make it on his own in a people environment. His environment was back in the woods with a mother taking care of him. But he came out of his environment and he would drink water out of the water garden. He would eat flowers. He would show up once a day and hang around for a while. And we put some milk out for him and we tried to get him to drink milk, but he wouldn't drink milk. He didn't understand that. We realized that perhaps if we put forth a lot of effort, we'd get a nipple, we could probably feed him, but we recognized a couple of things. That is illegal. You're not supposed to do that. Why? Because that animal was not made for a people environment. Yeah, it would have been real nice to have a pet deer around. Nice most of the time, but we would have had a pest. Ate up all the flowers, everything else. So we figured, well, if he makes it, wonderful, if he don't. But he was out of his environment too much. He tried to live in another environment, and yesterday I thought he did. Simply because he was not made to live in that environment. Why is there so much trouble on earth? why do human beings have so much trouble? Why do we have so many problems that we wouldn't have to have? It's simply because, friends, we make choices not to live in the environment, the spiritual environment God has provided for us, with positive thoughts about others, putting to death the prideful desires, burying self under the cross, only letting Jesus be Lord and enjoying this great atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere, that the Holy Spirit brings to us for us to live in victory. Now, in closing today, I would like the three representatives who imitate the Godhead to come forward. And would you join hands again? I think all of us have seen this. And tell me again who you are.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Okay, Father, raise your arms. And there it's so obvious, when the Father does something, Holy Spirit and the Son are involved. Holy Spirit, raise your arms. They're involved. Okay, you may put them down. When Jesus was praying in the garden before he was crucified, he said, Father, I gave my disciples what you showed me. And he mentions that him and Father are one and how he enjoys that relationship. He said, Father, I pray that they, the disciples, and not only the disciples here before me, but all those that come to me, and that includes us, would be one even as we are. Think about that. And this morning we shared that we would each individually understand our calling just as the Godhead is uniquely different, but they serve one purpose together, each doing their individual part. And that's why the Word tells us about each having different gifts. We join together with one purpose, to live the life of Christ and to proclaim the life of Christ. And in closing this morning, I'd like us all to stand and gather in whatever way it needs to be and join hands. You can move from the Godhead now and become human beings. And I want us to concentrate on the words of Jesus as we visibly again observe the oneness. Clyde, roll up there and get in the group. And go across there for her and join. Thank you, hon. And I guess as a person moving out of the role of pastor, this is my prayer for you as a church. And for me, with you, and for the body of Christ beyond here, that we would capture this oneness in Christ. I just want to say this again, that a few months ago, I was sharing with a friend of mine who had tried to work very closely with another friend, and it didn't work out too well. And I said to him, why did you think you guys could work together with such diverse personalities? And he said, well, from what I understood him, he had the same values I had. And he said, it doesn't matter how different you are, how different your personality is, but if your values the same, you can work together, and he does it with other people. Doesn't matter how different we are, personalities we are, callings are different. But may God sharpen our revelation and understanding of who we are in him and the values he wants us to uphold and the vision for standing church. And I thank you for making it such a wonderful place for me to serve these 5 years. Now I'd like to pray for you. Precious Lord, we come to sense what you really meant about that oneness. We covet, Lord, the understanding that power that was revealed to us this morning, that is ours to help us conquer diverseness and disputes and differences of opinion that would divide, that we might, with those differences, see a goal, see an understandable, tangible step ahead to reach. We trust you. We're depending on you, Holy Spirit, to lead and guide each one today. We open our hearts for that fresh anointing to go from this day forth, to receive the people that you have for us, to honor the next pastor, to lay hold on all of those things that might be difficult, we never did before, with your grace, with your mercy, and with your power. We thank you and praise you for the trust we can place in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the time that comes, our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of different minds is mine to them above. We share our
short 5 years that Jim's been here, and I appreciate his ministry very much.
May the Lord Almighty God bless and keep you for you.